Cleaning Nation, welcome to another episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. I want to take a quick moment to thank you for doing some amazing things, for sharing the show, for all the great reviews on iTunes. We love those. Keep them coming. For all the kind feedback you guys give me personally on Facebook, publicly, all that good stuff. I want to remind you, if you're listening to the podcast, check us out on YouTube. If you want to, you know, sit at a computer, watch a video. If you're watching us on YouTube and want to be able to listen to it on the road or when you're cleaning or out and about, feel free to subscribe to the podcast. They're all free. No matter where you're listening, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. I just put up a special video just for you, a magic tool to grow your cleaning company. It's totally free. If you dig the show, you're going to love what's waiting for you at growmycleaningcompany.com. Today, we are chatting with Angie Everson from Angie My Cleaning. Angie My Cleaning serves the Minneapolis, Minnesota area with residential cleaning services. If you want to get a hold of her, she's got a Facebook page at facebook.com/ Angie My Cleaner. Angie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks.
Glad to have you, sister. So what on God's green earth is an Angie My Cleaner or Angie My Cleaning?
Oh, it's Angie My Cleaner.
Okay.
Well, I started it last year, March 1st of 2016. It was me in one house. I had done cleaning before and, you know, due to various events, I was like, I think I can do this. I actually had started another business as an artist, and I'm a sculptor, and I do kids' birthday parties and corporate events and things. But it's very hard to market being an artist and make a profit at it, and so I needed some income to fund that, and I knew how to clean, so I started my own business doing that, and it's been a little over a year, and I now have 6 employees and over 100 clients, and I can't say I know exactly what I'm doing, but I'm having a lot of fun doing it.
That sounds like an honest person for once. I don't know what I'm doing, but I know I'm having a lot of fun. I'll go with that, sister. That's how I feel most days. So don't, you're in good company.
Yay.
Good. So I love your story and how you got in. That's so cool. You may be the first artist slash cleaning company owner we've had on the podcast that I can remember.
Cool.
All right. Well, artist/clean. That's a lot harder to say than you might think. Artist. Maybe I'm just drunk. artist/cleaning company owner. What's going on in your world? How can I help you?
Well, I about 2 months ago, I realized that I was trying to kind of run my entire business and clean. And before that, like, I had discovered your podcast and was getting all kinds of awesome value from that. And so I got the bright idea from listening to the podcast that I needed help. And so I brought it up to my cleaners first. We have a team meeting every week, and I let them know that I was going to be looking for an office manager to help me with all the phone calls and emails and scheduling and various other things. And one of my cleaners was like, hey, guess what? I'm going to have a baby and I don't want to clean. And I'm good at some of that stuff. So we tried it out, and she's been helping me with the office manager position for the last couple of months. And, but I'm just, you know, it's still kind of a big mess in some ways. And so my question is really how best to structure that position. And, like, you know, we have inventory ordering and managing inventory, and we have scheduling and talking to clients, and we have kind of managing the cleaners out on the field and, you know, all of that stuff. And the schedule, and we use VenMade, which I also found out about through your podcast.
Oh, nice.
So she does all the scheduling, you know, with that tool. And it's just, it seems like I'm doing some of it, and she's doing some of it. And I just wanted to ask about, like, and, well, let me also preface it by saying, like, I would like to grow. And so with that in mind, that I want to get bigger, how best would you structure that office manager position, and what other positions are kind of typically in the back end of a cleaning company? Like, Is that usually split up into different jobs, and what are those?
Oh my gosh. Hold on. I'm just taking a note. I don't want to forget to say everything. Okay, good. So gosh, I've got a lot of stuff to say on that. I could probably go on for like a full day seminar if pressed. So I'm going to do the best I can to get you everything we can at the time that we've got here on the show. All right. The first thing we got to do is start at the beginning. So many people start at the end. I am doing a bunch of work that I don't want to do, and I don't want to do it anymore. If I throw money at this person and run away, maybe my life will get better. Does that sound fair at all?
A little fair, yeah.
Okay. And again, this is not Angie. These are all the other listeners that are these people. Angie, of course, is going to do none of these mistakes that we're talking about. So first and foremost, we need to start with a job description. I'm sorry, that's not true. First and foremost, we need to start with an org chart, an organizational chart that has all of the jobs that you want to have for your company in a box. Okay. So at the top, there's one box, and that box for you says Angie. And then there's a line under that box. Everybody above the line is an owner. If you don't have any partners, it's just Angie up there, right? You're the shareholder. If it's you and you had a partner, they'd all be up there, but you're up there. Below the line Yep. are all the people that work in the company. Okay. At the top of that's going to be general manager. That person is right now probably Angie too, right? It's for when you start, just so you know, spoiler alert, when you first start, you should still do this. But of all the boxes, your name's going to be in all of them. And as you grow, you promote yourself out of all of these boxes, okay? But first you have to have the boxes and define them and know who's supposed to do what. So at the top of the thing is Angie in the general manager's box. Underneath that box, there are exactly three boxes. One says accounting, or if you want to get fancy, CFO, chief financial officer. The second one says sales and marketing, client attraction, and that could be your CMO, your chief marketing officer. And to the right of that would be your operations, which would be COO, chief operations officer, or just the person in charge of getting the work done. Every business inside and outside the cleaning business has those three things. You've got to get customers, you've got to provide your product or service, and you've got to account for all of it, okay? At the beginning, Angie's name is going to be in all three. Okay, which is fine. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm in all these boxes. That's correct. You're doing all of the work yourself. Below the accounting piece or the CFO, you might have, you know, at the beginning, there may not be anything, right? Just, you know, a bookkeeper, and then above that's the CPA. But this is going to be your whole team. And the CPA might be someone that isn't work for you, but they do your taxes. So they're kind of in that little area. And there might be an accounts payable clerk as you get bigger and accounts receivable clerk, but I wouldn't spend too much time there. Just know somebody's got to be in charge of the finances. And to start, that's going to be Angie. And you might have a bookkeeper, right? So Angie's the CFO, right? You're in charge of all that data, but someone else is going to prepare the books or write the checks or do all that other stuff. But to start with, it's just really you and maybe an assistant or a bookkeeper and a CPA to do your taxes. When you get to the marketing, you might have one for marketing, one for sales. You might have a sales manager, salespeople. You might have a marketing person, a content person, a web person, SEO guy. There's all sorts of nonsense that you can do. We're not going to dive into that because that wasn't your question. When you get to the third box, we finally get to talk about what you want to talk about, which is great. How do I freaking make, because I'm assuming what you're saying is you want someone to help you run the company, do the operations, not the other two boxes, correct?
Yes.
And you want to kind of keep those separate. Usually the person that's in accounting is not great at selling. Usually the person that's selling isn't great at creating systems or managing other people. So you don't want the account, you want those boxes to be separate, right? No one from the accounting does sales, no one from the sales does operations, no one from the operations does accounting. You kind of get that idea. So that part is all kind of the same for every business, or certainly every cleaning business. We're going to kind of make some assumptions about your business that I can give you some ideas, but we'd have to talk at depth in length about how your companies run and what exactly you want before I could kind of help you put together your exact org chart. But I've got enough information we can kind of get some ideas for you to work with once we're off the call. Does that sound good?
Perfect.
Okay. So below that, you're going to, and here's how I'd probably do this. I would write down everything that you do in a day, right? At the beginning, it's nice because you do everything. If it's going to be done, you do it. If you just write down everything you do, then you've kind of got a list of everything that needs to be done. And then I'd put all those three things in each of the boxes. And then once you've got all the operational stuff, you can kind of decide this is starting to turn into a job description, right? Maybe we've got, and I'm just making this up because we'd have to, again, talk in depth for me to really give a specific coaching for you and your company. But to start, you might say, well, I do all the hiring. That's, you know, hiring is someone. And then once I hire the people, I do all the training, and then I do all the hopefully quarterly reviews to make sure they're going good. And you start realizing, well, that's kind of one position, right? The staffing, training, encouraging, that's one position. And maybe you say, this is something I want to keep doing for the time being, or this is one of the first things I want to hire out. Then you might notice, well, on top of that, I've got to buy supplies and do make schedules and find out when someone calls out who comes in. And if someone needs to be fired, I do that. And so you kind of get an idea of all the things that need to be done first. Okay. So what typically happens is people hire somebody, just give them money and be like, all right, I didn't figure this out. It's a huge mess. I don't want to deal with it any longer. You deal with all the headaches, and they run away. And that person gets overwhelmed because they're not, you couldn't figure it out as the owner. Certainly an employee's not going to be able to figure it out for less money, and they run away. So what we want to do is be very clear at first through this org chart creation of exactly what the universe of things that need to be done is. So when they come, you've got a list of, here's the 20 things that need to be done in the operations world. And I kind of mentioned some of them, anywhere from buying supplies to fixing vacuums or getting them fixed, to hiring, to firing, to training, to making schedules. You're pretty familiar with all this stuff, right? So you want an exhaustive list of all the things that you do. And then you want to make a list of what this new person's going to do and what they're not going to do. And that's going to be a job description. So within that org chart, once you have kind of the operations manager or the hiring manager or the supplies manager, whatever you want to call them, you can make a clear list of what they're going to do. And more importantly, what you're going to do or what they're not going to do. Because what tends to happen is you just give them a bunch of work. And every time something that comes up that's a pain in the neck to do, you just tell them to do more and they get overwhelmed, burnt out, and quit. So the idea is you've got your org chart. Within the operations, you've got a list of all the things that need to be done. And before you hire anybody, you break that list into things that you want to continue doing, you feel is appropriate for the owner to be doing or for the, you know, the higher level thinker to be doing, and then a list of the things that you want them to do. And that way, you don't get scope creep, right? Where you hire them to say, hey, I just want you to manage employees, check on jobs, and make sure everything runs smoothly. And then all of a sudden, they're doing payroll and they're doing tracking times in and out, and they're creating schedules and they're dropping off keys and like all this nonsense, which is fine. You just have to set that up as an agreement before they start, not when they start, they think they're going to do X, Y. And when they get going, they're doing X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D, F, you know, you've thrown the whole kitchen sink at them. Does that make sense so far?
Totally.
Okay. So step one, create an org chart with your name in all the spots. Step two, start deciding which piece of the pie you want to take out, right? Don't just start randomly hiring people. You want to have job descriptions of, this person is going to do these tasks and it's going to take this off of my plate. The next thing you need to do is make sure you've got a profitable model. Because what happens when you first get started is, you know, there's always kind of two ways you can use your money. If you've got money coming in, there's cost of goods sold, which is the actual, you know, I'm getting $100 a month to clean this place and I'm paying you guys $50 to clean it. That's your cost of goods sold, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you have overhead. And when you're starting, the overhead's really low because you don't have an office. You don't have an office manager. You might have a cell phone, a little insurance. I don't know what else, you know, maybe $1,000 or a couple thousand a month. It's very low. Now, when you hire a manager, that overhead goes up, right? So the cost of goods sold never hurts you because it's not like you ever have, you know, you spend $500 to clean $100 worth of stuff. Generally, if you're bidding right, if you have a $100 job, you're going to pay $50 to get it cleaned, or 40 or 60, but it's not going to be, you know, the, as you grow, your income grows at the same speed your cost of goods sold does, all this margin starts showing up. Where that margin goes away is overhead, right? If you've got an office that costs $1,500 a month, it costs the same $1,500 a month if you have a huge month or if you have a tiny month, right? Your cost of goods sold is variable. It goes up and down with your sales. When you start picking up fixed costs like car payments, office managers, offices, phone systems, whatever, you just got to make sure that there's enough margin in your business as it is to pay for that person. So are you, and you don't have to answer this, but you do have to answer this, you don't have to answer online or on air. The first question is, after you make these job descriptions, the next question is, do I have enough money? Is there enough margin I can pay this person and take some of this this headache off of my plate? Questions on that so far?
No.
Okay. And the last thing was just be careful when you hire, because a lot of times people go right to their cleaners And I'm not saying it never works. And maybe the one that you've hired is doing a great job. Have no idea. So if they're doing a great job, don't. I'm not saying kick over that apple cart. I'm just saying oftentimes, just like salespeople aren't generally good accountants, people that clean often aren't good owners, or I shouldn't say owners, aren't good managers of cleaning staff, right? The skill set it takes to manage and encourage a team of people and hire is very different than a skill set to clean a house. Does that make sense?
Yep. Okay. Totally.
So I'm not saying that they don't exist. I'm just saying just because they can clean doesn't mean they can manage a cleaning team. Fair?
Totally fair.
Okay. That's about what I can kind of give you in the time that we have. Do you have any other questions before we hit the lightning round?
No. That was really helpful. And I've got 3 pages of notes.
Beautiful. And luckily we've recorded this. So if you miss something, it will be available. You can listen to yourself along with all of Cleaning Nation and hear how brilliant you sound. On that note, let's hit the lightning round. I'm going to give you the opportunity to share with Cleaning Nation some of the experience that you've had in the last year that you've been building this business. 3 quick questions. You're going to give 3 amazing answers. Question number 1, what's the best advice you've ever received personally or professionally?
I mean, I have a lot of answers to that question. I feel like relating to the cleaning, like probably most of it came from your podcast. And out of all the things, the best thing for me so far, like that I would put out in the front would be like getting myself out of the daily operations as much as I can so that I have more energy and like, you know, space in my head to think about how to move forward.
Well said. So, I agree with me. I couldn't. Well said. That's fantastic advice. Question number 2. What's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business so far? So maybe some of us can hear from your mistakes and not make that mistake, and we can go make different mistakes.
Well, I've heard all of these said before on your podcast, so hopefully it's not too boring, but like,
no, I always tell people, if you hear the same mistake, people saying the biggest mistake I made was, and you hear it over and over, maybe you should double, triple, quadruple, make sure you're not making that mistake. So if we've heard it before, that's totally okay. As long as it's true, I want to hear it.
I have 3 that kind of equal each other. One is paying too much right away, not having any room to like give raises or anything.
Smart.
I learned that with my first employee. And then, like, hiring based on friendship connections, that didn't go well for me. And I have team meetings, which is awesome, but they weren't organized. And that not having an organized meeting isn't not helpful. And I pay them to come to the meeting, so it's good to, like, have a schedule or an agenda.
I think that one's my favorite. I have not heard that before on the show. And I would encourage anyone out there listening going, I've got that problem. I always want to have meetings, but I don't know what to do or how to do it or what to say. That'd be a great one. Call Natalie and try and get on the show. I would love to do an episode where we talk about what a team meeting looks like, but not this episode. Last question. What's one idea Cleaning Nation can put into practice right away? Something easy and simple that as soon as the show's over, they can go put into practice immediately and start getting some benefit.
Oh, immediately?
Just easily implementable. Not like go out, buy a franchise, get a car, like that's too much. Just something quick and easy that even if it's not a huge impact, that's just they can put into practice right away.
I just know that one of the things that helped me a lot, advice that I was given, my dad always pushed me really hard to do my due diligence before like purchasing things or in business, it would be like before hiring someone, or I don't always have the luxury to do that at the pace that we're growing. But I'm trying to keep up. I just feel like due diligence and like doing your research, as much as possible before making decisions is really good idea.
I could attest. I definitely have some one-on-one clients that would agree. We're spending a lot of time and money unwinding a mess of a situation that they got into from a lack of due diligence. All right, Angie, thank you so much for joining us. I am digging your vibe and your passion and putting up with me, having some fun with you. Cleaning Nation, appreciate you. I appreciate you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Angie's show notes page, the notes that we had, and the special video I mentioned earlier, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.